Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi Shalom Tendler, Kashrus Administrator at the Star K. Thank you, Rabbi Tendler, for being here once again.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Today, I'd like to discuss a very important topic, and that is the halachas of Yashan, or Chadash, as some people know it. It's in some parts of the world, it's a Dairaisa. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we know that the Paiskim debate the matter, but many people, especially over the years, have taken on Yashan, and they're careful to adhere to whatever restrictions there are. And I know that there's been great developments over the last few years, and the Star K is very involved as well in enabling people to keep Yashan and Chadash properly. And even before I ask you a question, I want to give a proper shout out and a proper appreciation to Rabbi Yosef Herman, Zichrono Vracha, of the Guide of Chadash, who for years and years and years was kind of a one-man powerhouse behind this mitzvah and enabled so many people to keep her properly. I think back to years when Yashan was not so popular.
Right.
And before packages had a Yashan stamp on them, and my parents were makbid on it, and they used that guide religiously. So definitely where we are today is great credit to his contribution to this matter. And before we do discuss it, I just think that's appropriate.
There's no question. He single-handedly brought, you know, keeping the mitzvah of Yashan to the forefront in Chutz La'aretz, like literally single-handedly for 40 years or something like that.
Sure, a long time.
Definitely.
Pre-technology.
Right.
And I could only try to imagine what he had to do to come up with all the codes and information that he needed to put out the guide 20, 30 years ago, you know,
sure.
Pre our current technological age. It's really incredible when you think about it. It should be a schus for him and his family. But bring us up today on what's happened over the last period as far as awareness. And, you know, actually, before that, for those viewers who may not be so familiar, tell us what the laws of Yashan and Chadash are and what products they impact and things like that. It's a big inyan, but a small summary.
Sure. So first, there's nothing new in Yashan, right? That's always the pun, that the classic pun, almost cliche already, that everyone's using when they're talking about Yashan and Chadash, that is nothing new, and what's new? Okay, fine, I've heard that a million times already. Okay. And Yashan is only relevant to the five grains, Chamesh, Shemini, Dagon, wheat, oats, barley, rye, and spelt. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so the idea basically behind Yashan and Chadash is the following thing, is that wheat is generally harvested, Chag HaKotzer, we know Shavuos time in the summer, that's when wheat, like any other crop or grain, is harvested. So the halacha is the Torah, it's a pasuk in the Torah, right, that says that the new crop is not allowed to be eaten until after Pesach, which means the product that was harvested this past summer, a couple of months ago, is not allowed to be eaten until after Pesach, which is Habolein L'Toivah, in a couple of months. So that's as far as what Chadash is, that is that the new crop that's harvested in the summer is not allowed to be eaten until after Pesach comes. Yashan is last year's crop that already passed through last year's Pesach, already passed over Pesach, right? That's another one of the puns that everybody gives, right? Already passed through Pesach, is now allowed to be eaten. And that's what's called Yashan, the old crop. It's not stale, it's not old bread or anything like that. It could be just as fresh, you know, as the Chadash crop is. It has nothing to do with it. It's just wheat or flour that was already harvested last summer, as opposed to 2 summers ago, as opposed to this past summer. So that's Chadash and that's Yashan, right? So it's a pasuk in the Torah. How do we get around that? So first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, there's not much getting around that, where it's Daraisa, maybe nowadays where it's not Rav Yisrael Admasan. Fine, different story, but it's for sure, you know, Karla Daraisa in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no shortcuts taken for that. Any product in Eretz Yisrael, if it's kosher, it's Yashan.
Right.
Nothing to talk about.
Meaning Potter certification, to clarify, Potter certification of any reliable agency in Eretz Yisrael is to make sure that their products are
100%
certified Yashan.
Yeah, the Rabbi Nut is even mapped with anything being imported to the country is Yashan.
Oh, really?
That's how far it goes. But in Eretz Yisrael, Yashan is as olive-based a kosher as glatt kosher is in America. You know, there's nothing to talk about. Right, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's no question that it's not Daraisa. Maybe it's a Safik Daraisa, different Shitas and Rishonim. Obviously, a lot of Gushmak HaTorah and Rish Tzadik Gimel about that. But the predominant Midig in Klal Yisrael always was over the Daraisa, is not necessarily to be Makbid on it. Mm-hmm. And that's for two primary reasons. Number one is that people shouldn't have food.
Right.
So if you're going to start limiting the availability of such a basic thing as flour, right? It can't get more basic than that. You know, they had to go with whatever shittas are lahakal. So therefore, they ended up going with shittas lahakal as far as it only being darabon in chutz la'aretz, maybe not applying in chutz la'aretz. And then the big one, which is that the way the Rosh says it and the Rama brings it, as far as being a svek sveka, you don't really know what's new crop, what's old crop. Right. And therefore, you know, there's plenty of grounds lahakal, and that's pretty much how Klal Yisrael lived for hundreds, not thousands of years.
Right.
That, you know, it's not something that in Chutz La'aretz they were necessarily yechidim, yeah, but Klal Yisrael in general was not makbid on this, until relatively recently. So what changed over the last, 20, 30, 40 years or something like that? And really what prompted Rabbi Herman, Zichrono Livracha, to start, this campaign? Honestly, I don't know what prompted him to start it 40 years ago, mm-hmm. right? But the reality was that there's something that changed in the United States of America that kind of switched the dynamic of Yashan. I don't know exactly what year it was. But what happened was the following thing, is that it became very public information. The United States has a tremendous amount of wheat crop. And what they would do is that they had years and years of warehouses of wheat.
Like so, a surplus.
A surplus is of wheat available.
Right.
And therefore, the svek sveka was alive and well, and no one really knew what was chadash, what was yashan, and therefore, that's the way Klal Yisrael lived for the last few thousand years, that we didn't know what was what, and therefore everyone was just makel, and that was that.
To elaborate on that, basically what I might be eating in the month of Shvat or Adar before Pesach may really have been from last year's crop.
Right. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it could be anything.
So it wasn't chadash.
Right. So Klal Yisrael for the last 1,000 years, in the last few thousand years, relied on the fact that we don't really know what's from last year, what's from this year. It was all mixed up, and many times there were 2-3 years, sometimes even 4 years behind on the mm-hmm. crop they were using, so it wasn't even an issue. The best example I can give you is scotches, or things like that, which have to be aged for a minimum, I think, of 8 years before
right.
they're released. So, when someone calls and asks, is this scotch Yashan? It's a funny question. You know what I mean? So that's where I realize people don't really know what this means. Right?
They don't know what they're asking.
Right. So this is the same thing that happened in the United States. You're getting flour, generally speaking.
Meaning you might have an issue of Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach.
That could be.
But not an issue of Yashan.
Right. So it's the same thing in the United States, for sure, for many years, was always that way, that the crop that they were using at that time was always going to be, sometimes 3-4, maybe even more than that, years behind, because they want to use that up eventually. So that was the stuff that was on the market. Now, what happened was, in some time around when Rabbi Herman started, his project, I believe, is that the United States started exporting all the old crop.
Mm-hmm.
And the new crop started hitting the market pretty
faster.
Soon, much faster. So he was alarmed, and how fast is fast? And that's when he started doing his research, and he realized that that crop was coming on the market faster than anybody ever expected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe where his guide was born from that discovery and realization that we have to figure out what's chadash and what's not chadash. You can't just assume the old svek sveka applies, because it doesn't necessarily apply anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Got the bracha of the Gedolim at the time for his project, and he started it. And he really, again, as you mentioned in the beginning, brought chadash to the forefront, in chutz la'aretz, to everybody's minds.
So now that you gave us that introduction and we have that background and that base of understanding, what's new, let's say, today? What has been developing in this field?
So what's happened over the last number of years is that Herman's guide was always a printed guide. Based on his being Shalitzer from Gedolim, he never wanted to put the information online. Mm-hmm. And the reality was information that consumers, had to get a copy of the guide for, and which people did. And his information was also what kosher agencies kind of relied on also. Not that we couldn't figure out the information for ourselves, since we go into the factories, we go into the mills to try to understand what was what, but we didn't feel it was necessary. He was doing the research. We didn't have the impetus to expend manpower and resources on doing more than that. And that's why we always relied on his information. About 10 years ago, there was a website that came on the scene called Yashan.com.
Okay.
That was started about 10 years ago by people who take Yashan very, very seriously. And basically all they did was take Rabbi Herman's information. As I mentioned, he was hesitant to put it online. And they took the information and put it online.
Hmm.
to make it more widely available.
Reach and, a wider audience, right?
Again, nowadays, that's just the way things seem to be necessary to go. And it became a tremendous TLS. It made it much more widely available and much more accessible, even for us conscious agencies. You know, if we didn't always have the most updated copy of the guide, we can always go to yashin.com and see, you know, what information Ray Herman was publishing, you know, at that time. And it was a big TLS for everybody. What happened about a year and a half ago, approximately, was that the conscious agencies were approached by Rabbi Herman's family to say that they, you know, they feel that the world of food technology and science has gotten very, very big. There's so many companies now, so many mills, so many companies that are producing, you know, wheat grain-based products. So Rabbi Herman's family approached the conscious agencies and said that, you know, the gathering the information is becoming more and more complicated for them. They don't have the resources to do it to the extent that they feel they need to maintain their father's mahalach. And can the conscious agencies, are they willing to help out? And we said, of course. And I emphasize very strongly, we, the conscious agencies, because it's no one particular agency, as much as I do work for the Star King, and we do have a guide that we ourselves put out, which was always based either on his information until now, and now, you know, we'll discuss where we get our information from. But it is a joint project of all the conscious agencies that are relevant, who are giving certifications on these products, because we have mashgichim who are certifying plants, who are going into plants, and can actually figure out and find out yashin information, actual yashin information, real cutoff dates, without relying on estimates or things like that. You know, we were able to get actual real information. They would ask if we would be willing to get involved in publishing or disseminating yashin information, you know, that from companies nowadays. So we said, of course. And we formed a committee of all the different agencies to work on this and basically gather information from all the mashgichim from all the different companies, starting with the mills and then getting to products. Now, that's an important piece of information there. And the reason is the following thing, is that the way it's always been thought, well, the way it's always, shouldn't say the way it's always been thought, the way it's always been published is that we get one cutoff date for, let's say, wheat, and that applies to any wheat-based product, whether it's a flour, whether it's a cookie, whether it's a cookie crumb, any cereal, anything, everyone's going with the same date. The reality is that that's not what's going on in reality, because obviously wheat first goes to a mill, it gets milled into flour, and then it has to get transported to the company that makes the cookie, and then it gets put onto the market. So there's a number of weeks, if not months, in between. So the question was, how much time goes on in between? So, you know, Rabbi Herman obviously was never able to, he didn't have access to the companies to find out how much that lag time is. So he went with one cutoff date for everything. But now
that really ended up being l'chumra?
That ended up being tremendously l'chumra.
Right.
Which again is a safe bet.
It's safe, right?
You know, if you wanted to bet on it, that was definitely a safe bet to go with. But the reality is that you certainly can make the dates much later, because the reality is from the time the cookie company gets their flour from the mill, right? If let's say the mill gets their flour in on August 1st, right? Assuming they mill that day, by the time it gets to the cookie company, it's probably at least 2 weeks later.
And then there's manufacturing time.
As manufacturing time. So they're not waiting to get their flour before they start making their cookies, right? They have flour previously in stock. So the question was, how much time is all that? So obviously the conscious agencies have access to that information as much as possible to find out from their mashgichim. Number one, you talk to the mill and you find out, first of all, when actually are you getting chadash in? So that was the first thing. So we created a list of when you're actually getting chadash in each mill, getting chadash. And we have a list of mills. It's not so relevant for consumers because consumers generally, you know, we're talking about commercial mills. The ones that produce retail flour, we have a list for, but the commercial mills, which is many, many, many mills, we have a list of when they actually got the first chadash flour in for the season, and it varies tremendously. We have some mills that got in, I think the earliest date this year was August 7th, but that was a mill that wasn't relevant to anything retail. It was only a commercial mill. And then there are some mills that haven't yet even gotten it in. And we're hitting here in, we're in December.
We're in January already.
We're in January already. They haven't even got it in yet. Because it sits in the warehouses. They're not ready for it yet. Their silos are still full from last year. Whatever it is. So it varies that much. And then you have, after it's from the mill, when do they start shipping it out to companies? So if you have a company that orders flour, right, when are they going to be getting from that new shipment? So at each step, you're able to speak to the mashgiach in the mill. When did the mill get the chadashin? You speak to the mashgiach in the cookie factory. When did you get the new shipment of flour in after this date? So the way we're doing it now is that we with the mill, the list that we have for the mills is that the first date that the mill got chadashin, that's the last date. That's a good date. Mm-hmm. The day they're actually getting it in, and the next day, all bets are off. We can't guarantee that this flour anymore, this mill anymore, is going to be 100% yashin. And then the mashgiach in the cookie company will say, okay, where are you getting your flour from? Now, he might know. He says, I'm getting it from this and this mill. Fine, if you're getting it from this and this mill, after the cutoff date for that mill, when's the first shipment of flour that you got? 3 weeks later, that's the cutoff date for the cookies.
Right.
Right. So you have a different cutoff date for the mills and a different cutoff date for the cookies. Now, sometimes the mashgiach will say, you know, I don't know, they get from 35 different
mills. Too complicated.
Mills. Too complicated. And the reality is that he's busy. He wants
and
to make sure
he's taking care
of the kashrus. Right. He doesn't necessarily have to spend time tracking down the flour.
Right.
Fine. So that's respectable enough. The question is that if they don't know then, but we're still going to estimate or go with when, how often do you get shipments of flour in? So you're able to ascertain that after this and this date, you know, the earliest mill, mm-hmm. whatever date that was, that's now the cutoff date for places that we don't know when they're getting new flour in.
Right. But basically what you're doing is you're really buying yourself time that you previously didn't have. Whereas in the past, if we knew some date in August was when the harvest took place, that was it for
right.
the
that was it
for
the
that for that season.
Right.
Whereas over here, if we know for whatever reason that it takes X amount of time and then there's production time, you could buy yourself weeks or months and you're thus shortening the what we would call the chadash season.
Correct. So what's happened this year is that, and let's clarify and pull together everything that we just said, is basically is that now we have with this between the Starkey quick guide that we have on our website and the information that we, the agencies, are now giving to Yashin.com, we have is that a list of dates for products that are very different from each other, meaning there's not necessarily one cutoff date that now goes through all these guides. Everything is different, and mm-hmm. everything is based on actual dates that we get from the mashgichim and the plants. Mm-hmm. Now, that is very different than the way Rabbi Herman's guide has traditionally been run. Where you have, like you said, one cutoff date, and that's where everything goes. Now you have different dates for products as opposed as you do for mills. And the benefit of that is that the increased availability of Yashin products exponentially because of
sure.
that. You know, it's been tremendous. And another example would be is that once we dug into this deeper, we realized that oats was always assumed to be one of the earlier grains that came on
right.
the market. But once we dug into it more, paying attention to Yashin, we realized that the oats that are used in the United States for food-grade oats are almost exclusively from Canada. The oats grown in the United States are almost all animal-grade.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canadian oats come into the market much, much later just because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So oats now is actually one of the later items.
Interesting. It was always from the earlier ones.
From earlier items. But
you're saying now with this
right.
piece of information,
right.
it changes.
It changes everything.
It changes
right? So for this year, it kind of caused confusion when we started putting out this information because people were used to the guide to Chodesh, which still did come out with their edition at the beginning of the season, and their dates are much earlier than our dates.
Right.
Our dates, I mean, again, the Star K guide or the Yashin.com dates, but what we explained to people is that our dates are based on actual information from the plants, knowing exactly when they're getting Chodesh in, mm-hmm. as opposed to just an estimate based on the crop harvest.
Very interesting. So it is somewhat a game changer in the Yashin world. I would say especially this conversation is taking place during an Ibiyar, when the Chadash/Yashin season is longer, because there's an extra month before Pesach. So this could actually be significantly helpful to people, just like you said, it increases
yes,
availability.
Definitely increases availability of Yashin, and it's made companies, you know, very, very happy to know that we have actual dates, not based on estimates.
Right.
Because it also, you have to keep in mind, bakeries and industrial companies pay a premium for Yashin flour.
Right.
Whether it's from distributors or from the mill themselves, because, you know, obviously the company's standpoint, it's like, you know, somebody wants this particular
someone
item,
wants it.
Charge more money
charge
for it.
More.
Right? So this right. has, you know, saved people a lot of money and has made Yashin availability exponentially higher.
Now, I've heard also about an app that there's some kind of app that you could actually scan items in the supermarket and it'll pop up the Yashin status.
Right.
Is that a Starkey project?
That is not a Starkey project.
Okay.
That is actually part of Yashin.com. They developed their website, which is a very searchable website, and an app that goes with their website. And And they do it, by the way, they are doing this the same Shemaim. They do not make any money. They charge, I think, $3.99 for the app just to cover the costs for developing it. But they do this whole thing L'Shem Shemaim. You can scan a product code, UPC symbol, UPC code with this app, and it will give you the Russian information for it.
That's also a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, you know.
I can tell you how many times I've been in the supermarket over the years, and I remember I didn't have a guide. I'm calling my mother. Could you look up the dates?
Right.
But over here, if you have an app.
You have an app. It's a phenomenal piece of technology. I give it to all. Tell all my shkichim to download it. You know, and to utilize Yashin.com as much as possible also because it's updated in real time. You know, anytime information. And the truth is, this is also something that I think this is important for consumers to know. And that is that everyone gets, you know, impatient come Rosh Chodesh Elul. You know, when's the Yashin information coming out? When's Yashin information coming out? Rosh Hashanah, the weeks before Rosh Hashanah. You know, besides all the regular styles before Yontif, it's like Yashin, Yashin, Yashin. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? The reality is that it's very early in the season still. Even Rosh Hashanah is late. It's very early in the season to know when, you know, when the companies are getting in Yashin. A lot of times they themselves don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, if what we discussed before is that the product gets harvested and then gets transported to companies, that's all taking place during El around, end of the summer. That's when it's all taking place. So companies a lot of times don't know. Said the truck was supposed to come in yesterday. Now they say it's not coming till next week. They don't know.
They don't have it.
They really don't know. So what people have to recognize is that information comes in over periods of time. It's not like all of a sudden one day, boom, you have all the Russian information. So what we could do is we could just say, okay, you know what? We're going to give one date l'chumra, which is part of what Rabbi Herman's cheshbon was in doing that. But the reality is that then it will change. And it will change later and later and later and later.
Right.
And many things are going to constantly change, you know, until, you know, November, right? Things are constantly being updated. And that's why, you know, it is helpful to have a website because things are updated in real time as the information comes in.
Mm-hmm. So just to end this conversation, if someone wants to stay on top of Chodesh and Yashin information, what are their options? Their options are Yashin.com.
Yashin.com is really the best resource
that we
have.
Resource?
The Starcade publishes what we call our quick guide, again, but it's just really the most commonly available products.
Uh-huh.
It's honestly, as I said before.
Where is that available?
That's available on the Starcade website.
Okay.
You know, it's just like a kitzer of what's available in Yashin.com / what Rabbi Herman's guide has been until now. You know, the Herman family did indicate that they're not planning on continuing the guide. Because, you know, we've been in touch with them constantly about kind of taking over this and putting out this information, you know, through Yashin.com, both as an online and printed guide. So that's really where consumers' best resource is going to be.
Okay. Rabbi Tendler, thank you for being here. Thank you for this fascinating discussion. And we look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Thank you very much.